But you love us and care about us, that fear doesn't have a place in that. Thank you for that reality. Father, there's somebody here today struggling with fear. Fear of a medical test, fear of relational issues, fear of a job, whatever it might be. Father, I pray that you would begin to deliver them right now in Jesus' name from that fear. And Lord, if there's some folks here today who have wandered away from you, I pray specifically today's message will speak to their heart and their mind. Holy Spirit of God, awaken faith within them to believe. Lord, draw them back to yourself. And now, Father, as we turn to your word, pray that you will open our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning. Grace Kids, where are you? Grace Kids. That is great. All right. Summer is still with us, and so it's always great to see families here that have traveled and gotten back, and we have some that are traveling now, so we need to always keep them in prayer to be sure. Well, last week we started a series going through the story of the prodigal son. Now, that's one of the most recognized stories in Scripture, and most everybody here, I'm sure, has read it, heard it, talked about it. But we said last week that people wander, that people become a prodigal. Now, what does prodigal mean? The root of that word means wasteful. You waste God's talent. You waste God's time. You waste the opportunities he's given you. You waste the abilities he's given you. We can waste the opportunity to be in family and relationship that he's given you. It basically means to be wasteful, to wander and to be wasteful. And we said last week that the younger son, you remember the story, there's a dad, he has a younger son, an older son, he's apparently pretty wealthy. The younger son, straight away, we sort of talked about three more likely than not realities that were true in his life. One was he had developed an entitlement mentality. He deserved his portion even though his dad was still living, which was very offensive. He goes to his dad and says, "Dad, give me what I have coming to me." And in that culture, that means, "I sort of wish you were dead so I could get it." Very offensive. But that's what he did. The second thing we realize is that he was bored with the blessings of God. It is possible that we become entitled and then we become bored with the blessings of God, and God's given us these unbelievable blessings in life. It's possible to get bored with that. And then finally we said what had to be true is the father's presence just wasn't enough. Being in the presence of his dad, being at home, being in a loving environment, just for whatever reason wasn't enough. And now we know parables are earthly stories with spiritual meanings. So what does that mean? That means that sometimes we become entitled in our prayer life. Sometimes we become bored with the blessings God gives us. And sometimes the presence of God in our life just isn't enough for us, for whatever reason. And we begin to stray and we begin to wander. So today we're going to look at the prodigal's regret. He does come to a place of regret. He does come to a place where he turns back. And we're going to be looking at that this morning. So let's read those few passages if we can. Luke 15, 11 through 24. Follow along. As I read, Jesus is speaking, and he says this. "Now there was a man who had two sons. A younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the property that has come to me.' And so the dad divided up his property between them." There was an older and a younger. "Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey to a far country. And there he squandered his property and his wealth in reckless or party living. Now when he had spent everything, and severe famine came into the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen in that country, and the citizen sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. And he was so longing just to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one was giving him any food. He was going hungry. Verse 17, "But when he came to himself, and he said, 'How many of my father's servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I'm going to arise, go to my father, and I'm going to say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So treat me as one of your servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was a long way off, the father saw him coming, felt compassion on him. And so he ran up, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, go bring me the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let's eat and celebrate. For this is my son who who was dead and is now alive again, who was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now, here's what we know is true. In a room this size with this many people, there are some of you that do not relate to the prodigal. You just don't. How many of you have more than one sibling in your family? How many of you as parents have more than one child? Right? So we all know that everyone's different, right? You can have the same genetic donors into children, and those children will come out different. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's going to happen. Now, here was a guy, and you may not like this explanation, and it's not an excuse, but it is an explanation. Sometimes there are personality types that just have to. Whatever they're told not to do, they just have to do it. If they walk up and they see the sign, do not cut across the lawn, what are they going to do? They're driving down the road and it says no right turns, but they need to go right. What are they going to do? No cop, no crime, right? Bam, there they go. And they turn right. I mean, you know there's people like that. I'll tell you, I had a brother like that. My oldest brother was a lot like my wife, very much rule-oriented and relationship-oriented. I could tell you my wife wouldn't break a rule if you drug her. I mean, she just wouldn't do it. That is not her nature. Me, however, you know, rules are simple suggestions, I think. I don't know. Maybe they're a little bit more definitive than that, but there are times. But I had a brother. No joke. I had a brother. If mom and dad said go right, he's going to go left. That's just who he was. Renee's got a brother like that. I mean, same family. You know, they could tell Renee, be home by this time. Don't do this. Don't do this. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Bam. And it was done. Her brother, they ain't having it. I mean, just for whatever reason. So when we look at the prodigal, we have to understand, particularly those of you who fall into the older brother category. We're going to talk about him next week, so hang on. All right, but those of you who fall into the brother category, it's easy for you to become crass, impatient, and judgmental if that's not you. It's easy to look at someone who has a tendency to wander, prone to wander. We used to sing an old hymn with that line in it, that we are prone. It's easy to become harsh, judgmental, angry, unloving, unkind, misunderstanding, because you would never have done what he did. You just wouldn't have done it. So it's easy to think he should be like me, right? I mean, because I'm good. And so he should absolutely be like me. But we got to look at this prodigal and realize that there was something in him that pushed him out the door. Now, here's a couple of suggestions. One's personality. There are just basic personality types, and some personality types are more compliant. Some personality types are more argumentative. That's just true. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't excuse the wrong. It just makes it true. Now, here's another thing. Friends. Now, there are some people who, they have a friend group, and their friend group has a whole lot of influence in their life. And there's some people, their friend group could go do whatever, and they're strong enough to say no. There are just some people who could stand on their own in the middle of the friend group. I'm sure the younger son had friends. I'm sure he probably had friends that said, hey, you know, I did that thing where I got my money from dad, and I went to this faraway country. Let me just tell you something. I went over there, and it was F-U-N, I am telling you. Nothing like it out here on the farm. Right? And so maybe the friend group influenced him. Now, I have a son. He doesn't care one bit what his friend group is doing. Doesn't care. Don't text him. Don't call him. Don't ask him. He doesn't care. Right? But I have another child. If the friend group leans in a particular direction, she's going to be out in front leading the way. Now, I know her parents. I am familiar with her home life. Right? And those two couldn't be more different than if we designed it. There's just something sometimes friends will do that. Now, there's another possibility about the younger son, and that is he wanted independence. We're not told how old he is. We don't know how old he is. But apparently he was old enough to go and live on his own, so certainly at that time past the age of 13, had to have been. So, but we're not told how old he was. Maybe he was just longing for independence. Maybe he was tired of doing it dad's way. I bet dad, we're not told this, but I bet dad had a saying similar to this. I bet you've heard it. If you live in my house, you're going to do it this way. Anybody ever heard that one growing up? How many of you, okay, confession time, how many of you have said it? Now, some of you have got younger kids and you haven't been able to say it, but are you looking forward to it? Yeah, because you heard it all your life. So now you're looking for it. I just can't wait. I had kids to torture them just like I was tortured. So you're not going to do it while living in my house. That's just how that's going to work, right? And so the younger son, more likely than not, wanted some independence. I mean, certainly he did, because that's what he did. He sought to get the wherewithal and the financial resources to go and to be independent. Well, another thing is, he could have imagined this independent, flush with cash lifestyle bigger than it could ever deliver. Have you ever imagined something wrong, so much bigger and so much more grand, that's going to provide so much more satisfaction than it could ever deliver? And so you run headlong to do it, and it doesn't deliver what it promised. So at some point in this younger son's mind, he probably exploded the size of what it would mean to have a bunch of money and go do what you want and live like you want. It is hard to reason and it is hard to argue with a dream. I'm telling you, if you've raised kids, you've had to do it. Your kids have come home, they've had this in their mind, this idea, this dream, and you as a parent said, yeah, this is not going to work out well. Yeah, but you don't understand this, this, and this. Not going to work out well. Dad, you don't know anything. Boy, I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard that. I could absolutely retire. You don't know anything. And you know, because you've got some years, you know this isn't going to work out well. And so because you love your kid, you're trying to tell your kid, don't do that. But in their mind, they've blown this up so huge that they've got to try it. And then they go try it, and it doesn't work out. There was a modern philosopher who said this: the saddest day in your life is when you get that thing that you think will deliver ultimate satisfaction, and it fails to deliver. And so the younger son was pushed internally to wander. Does it make it right? Does it make it good? Just makes it true. He was pushed out the door to that. So what happens to him? He goes, and in verse 15, we see what Scripture says. Scripture says, so he went, a famine came, and he had no money, he was broke. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens in that country, and that citizen sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And there he longed to eat the pods that the pigs were eating, and he didn't, and no one gave him any food. After you make these decisions, here's the next step if you want to come back. You got to hit the bottom. There are some people who have to hit the bottom before they come up. You're saying, that's not rational, Terry. That makes no sense. That's not reasonable. I agree. But guess what? There are still some people who are absolutely going to make every mistake they've seen everybody else made, because they're going to do it better and they're going to be able to control it. Can I get an amen? Right. Here's the problem. The people before them couldn't make it work, and they're not going to be able to make it work. But they go out and they say, I got to go. And then they're going to hit the bottom. You do not make a change until you hit the bottom. Now, what's the bottom? The bottom's different for everyone. I bet you've seen people, you've known people in your life, and you've looked at them and said, well, if that had happened to me, I would have changed my ways. Have you ever thought that? Of course you have. If that had happened to me, now some of you in here, it would have never happened to you because you follow the rules, right? But for some of us, you know, we sort of have a tendency not to, you know, we look at that and we say, if that had happened to me, I would certainly change. Here's what you got to know, particularly if it's a loved one and you're frustrated. Particularly if it's a loved one and you're frustrated today. The bottom is different for everyone. Not everyone has a universal bottom. If you've walked with people who've struggled with addiction, you've watched time and time again their life explode on them. It explodes, it explodes, it explodes. And you're sitting there, particularly if it's a loved one and someone you care about, going, have they not hit the bottom yet? Have they not hit the bottom yet? Have they not hit the bottom yet? And the answer is, no, or they would have changed. And so they keep going and keep going and keep going until they absolutely hit the bottom and they have nowhere else to turn. And that's going to look different for everyone. For some people, losing a job, man, I'm changing. For some people, losing your husband or wife and kids, man, I'm changing. Some people, it takes their health. Some people will only change. Some prodigals will only regret and come home when they're laying on their back and doctors saying, you don't have much longer to go. And now that might wake them up. Everybody has to hit the bottom. Now, when you hit the bottom, you're going to make a choice. Understand that. When you hit the bottom, you're going to make a choice. One choice is, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because at least I understand it and like it, and so I'm going to keep going down this road. That's not reasonable. That's not rational. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't honor the Lord. But some people make that choice. Other people are going to say, nope, I've hit the bottom. I am changing. I am absolutely going to change. Everyone's bottom is different, but here's the deal. Everyone's bottom means they have to make a decision. When they hit their bottom, they will make a decision. I'm going to continue this way. Nope, pain's too high, or I'm going to go this way. And when a decision is made, if it's made in the positive, you're going to change your direction. Now, how does that look? You're going to set, and you're going to go through this. It might be in a formal way or an informal way. It might be over a series of weeks, months. Who knows? Whatever the, however long the wandering is. But you're going to look at your past life, and you're going to begin to assess it. That's what the rich, that's what the younger brother did. The younger brother looked at his past life, and he assessed it. He said, wait a minute, I'm sitting here feeding pigs, starving to death. Now, what did that mean? Now, think about this. He was a Jewish young man. So every single day, he went into a spiritually unclean environment. So before God, he was unclean every single day of his life. He was trapped there. Then he was at the mercy of people probably not of the same faith group. In fact, they had pigs. So probably not the part of the same faith group. So he was beholden to a completely set, a different set of values and principles, doctrines, ideas, God's little g, the whole nine yard. And so he's sitting there going, he's assessing his past. Wait a minute. My dad has a bunch of servants, and they have more than enough bread to eat. They live in a clean environment. They have it so much better than me. When you hit your bottom and you decide to change, a new direction will come up. And that direction will largely be influenced by what you knew in your past. When you walked with the Lord, when you were serious about your faith, when life didn't crowd out all the things of God in your life, when your time was better structured and better spent, it will hearken you back to a different day, a day when it was better, and your direction will change. Now, you're going to assess the past, but you're also going to assess the present. And you're going to probably say words like this at times. Oh, it can't get any worse. I'm just going to stay right here. I can manage this. It just can't get any worse. How many of you know it can get worse? It can get worse. Now, it's hard, but it can get worse. And so as you're assessing your present situation, you might try to fool yourself by saying, oh, it can't get any worse. I can manage this. No big deal. And get worse. Absolutely it can. Now, for the younger brother, the next thing to go obviously would have been his health. He wasn't eating. He was working hard. He was becoming malnourished. I mean, it wasn't hard, and I'm sure he thought that. It wasn't hard to project down the road saying, the next thing goes could be my health. I'm going to die of starvation. I'm not eating. It could have gotten worse. So sometimes you just have to. Doesn't make sense, but you just got to try it. You got to hit the bottom. If you hit the bottom and you make a decision to change, you chart a new direction, here is inevitably what you will have to do to some people in your life. Are you ready? You're going to have to do a real apology. If you want off the bottom, back on the mountaintop, if you want to track with the Lord and be back in relationship with him, sometimes you're going to have to say, I'm sorry. Now, here's how it looked for the younger brother. Look at verses 18 and 19. It says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your servants. Okay, this is a real apology. Here are not real apologies. I'm sorry for doing this, but if you hadn't have said what you did, I wouldn't have done it. That is not a real apology. Oh, I will never do this again unless the situations are similar. That's not a real apology. I am so sorry for giving the universal peace sign to that guy on the road and running him off the road. But if he would learn how to drive, that's not an apology. Here's an apology. I am sorry for what I did. Please forgive me. Yeah, Terry, but you don't understand. They would try the patience of Job and everything you're thinking is probably true. Still not a real apology. I mean, Here's a real apology. I could get a call from one of my kids who would say, "Dad, I'm sorry for wrecking the car for the fifth time. I realize I don't deserve to be on the insurance, so please remove me. Matter of fact, Dad, I don't even deserve a car. Would you please buy me a bicycle?" Now, that could be a real apology I receive one day. I'm not going to tell you who's on rank number five, but I have one on rank number five, right? And so I could get that call one day. That would be a real apology. A real apology. And I dropped my phone and I was looking for it when I was backing up and I ran into that car. No, that's not a real apology. Real apology is, "I'm sorry. I'm going to try real hard not to have a six wreck. Thank you very much." See, when you get to this point, you realize that the prodigal has a regret. He has a deep regret. He was sorry for embarrassing his dad in front of his neighbors by talking so disrespectfully to him. He's sorry for saying to his dad, "Dad, give me all my stuff. I got it coming now. I'm entitled. Give it to me. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for going to a faraway country and living like I wasn't taught to live. I'm sorry that I took a job that defiles me spiritually every morning I get up and go to it. I am sorry." Now, his regret is real. How do we know? Look at verse 21. Verse 21, the Bible says, "And the son said to the father," after, you know, he's coming, dad sees him a long way off, dad runs. He runs to meet him. "But the son said to the father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, I've sinned before you, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'" He did what he said he was going to do. When he was at the bottom and God convicted him and God showed him he was at the bottom, and he said, "I'm going to rise up, I'm going to apologize to my dad, and I'm just going to go home and serve." He didn't ask for mercy. You know what mercy is? God withholding from you what you deserve. He didn't ask for mercy. I mean, the dad should have called all the neighbors and said, "Hey, look, knucklehead's back." He could have. He could have said, "Knucklehead's come home." And you know, renamed him Knucklehead. Right? And he would have gone through the rest of his life with the name Knucklehead. Dad could have done that, but he didn't. He could have asked for mercy, but he didn't. He could have asked for grace. Grace is getting that thing that you don't deserve. He could have asked for grace, but he didn't. He apologized. He said, "I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you, and I am sorry." Now, when you do this, we get to the last thing to consider with this part of the story. You're going to learn something. That the porch light's always on for prodigals. I've told you all this story before. My grandmother lived in rural Alabama. Now, in rural Alabama, when it gets dark, it is dark. And let me define dark: the absence of light. Are you with me? When the sun, when the moon's covered and there's no stars out, and we used to spend the summer there on the farm, and me and my cousins would go. Now, in Alabama, they call them hollers. Right? We would go down into a holler and we would play. We had streams and rivers and stuff, and so we would go down there and play. And oftentimes we'd play too long, it'd get dark. But my grandmother never failed. Not one time did she ever fail. She would go to the back and she would turn that porch light on. And if we got so far out, all we had to do is climb a tree. We could see the porch light. They set up on a hill, right? If we were down in the holler, we just needed to get up a little bit higher. We could see the porch light and we could navigate our way home. The porch light was always on so we could get home. When the prodigal is coming home, the dad sees him. Remember what a parable is. Remember, a parable is an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. All right, so we're going to get to that. So here's this earthly story. The prodigal is a long way away, and the dad sees him. The dad doesn't let him come to him, which he would have had every right to do as the father, but he didn't. He got up and ran out to meet him, grabbed him, hugged him, and said, "Look, you stink. Here's a new robe, here's new shoes, and I'm going to give you a ring." Now, some people sort of theorize about the ring. We're not told what it was, but many people think it was the family signet ring that he would have had as a son in good standing. So all the remaining wealth of the father, all the blessings of the father, was at his disposal even after his wandering. Isn't that a cool thought? So they put the signet ring on, put the robe on him, put the shoes on him. "Hey, go get the calf, kill it. We're going to have a party because my son was dead. Now he's alive. He was blind, but now he sees." Some of you, maybe, have wandered away from the Lord. Your heart isn't as passionate toward the things of Christ as it used to be. Time, life, age, kids, grandkids, workplace, all the things have crowded out the passion you had for the Lord once. It's pushed it out. Loneliness, need, brokenness has just pushed it out. And the Lord is saying to you, you don't have to take a step toward me. Just lean in a little. Just give me a little lean and repent and say I'm sorry. And I will run and get you faster than a twinkling of an eye. And you will be restored into full fellowship of the family with your friends. When we started Grace, almost 5 years ago, we'll let you know when the party is. The party's going to be in September. It's going to be a big one. It'll be our five-year party. When we started Grace, there were several ideas we had that sort of pushed us to do this. And one of the places, one of the reasons was we all wanted a safe place for our kids to get up. Because here's what we knew. Our kids have sinful parents. They're born into a sinful condition. And sinners have one thing in common. What do? Not a trick question, right? They sin, right? We wanted a safe place for them to get up. We wanted a safe place that wouldn't beat them up, but build them up. We wanted a place that reflected this heart, the heart of God. I don't want to pay you back, son, for taking half of everything that I had and going and squandering and doing everything wrong. I don't want to pay you back. I want to get you back. We wanted a place that communicated that. I wanted a place that would let me preach. Because I have far from a perfect track record. And we always joke around here and say, if they'll let me preach, they'll let you be a member. Ain't no problem there. We wanted a place that modeled this story. The story of a prodigal who, when they regret, they get to come home. If you're here today and you've wandered far away, I hope you see the heart of the Father. It's not to pay you back, it's to get you back. It's not to beat you up, it's to build you up. It's not to crush you with his power, which he could. But he wants to just love you, bring you back into fellowship. Just a minute, we're going to pray. We'll give you a chance to pray. And I trust if you've wandered away from the Lord today, you'll come back. Pray with me if you will. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just creating a little private space there around you. Let me ask you, have you wandered from the Lord? Maybe there's a list of things, or maybe just one thing you just had to. Just had to do it. And so you ran toward it and did it. And now you sit here today with regret, with shame, and maybe some pretty bad consequences. But you want to come back to the Lord. The porch light's always on. And the Lord's always ready to embrace you. So if you're one of those people today that need to take that step, I wonder if you'd just pray this. Just pray, hey, Lord, it's me. Thank you for letting me pray. I'm so sorry for the wandering I've done, for the wastefulness that I've just expressed. I've wasted your gifts, your time, your ability you gave me. I've just wasted. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me as I come back home to be used by you. Now, if you prayed like something like that or a different prayer, but similar purpose, just then, I'm going to ask you on the count of three, just lift up your hand. One, two, three. One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. Slide it down. Thank you. Thank you. Now, it's possible that there's someone here that doesn't know the Lord at all. You've never prayed to receive Christ. Now, if that's you, I encourage you, if God's calling you, if God's awakening faith within you, I encourage you to pray this prayer. Pray, hey, Lord, it's me. Thank you for allowing me to pray. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe on the third day you resurrected from the grave. And right now I place my faith and my trust in you alone for salvation. Please forgive me of my sins as I turn from them. Holy Spirit, fill me now and control me. I pray this in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer or something like it for the first time, on the count of three, just slip up your hand. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand. Anybody? Anybody? Okay. Now in the spirit of prayer, I want to ask you to make a commitment. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to be here next week and bring somebody with you. Because next week we look at the third part of the story. And that is the religious person. That is the older brother. You need to hear about the older brother. And you have people in your life who need to hear about the older brother. Make a commitment right now to be here. And see if God may change someone's life. Father, thank you for today and your kindness and your goodness. Thank you for allowing us to be together. For those who have said they're coming home, Lord, I thank you that you are a God who always receives prodigals who have a regret. We love you, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Ushers, come on forward, please, if you will. Ryan, come on down. As the ushers are coming forward, just remind you that this is the time when we ask you to put in your card. Can I see yours right quick? Yeah, yeah. Somebody tore mine. This is the prayer card. Please do that. I prayed through the prayer list this morning before services, so please put in your prayer request, and we will be glad to pray for you. If you're a guest, please let us know who you are. If you don't have time to put them in the offering plate, if you're writing it out, you can always slip it in one of the boxes at the doors, and we'll be glad to get it. Okay? Let's pray together. Lord, we love you, and thank you so much. Now, be with us as we give, not under compulsion or pressure or stress, but from a cheerful, thankful heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. A couple of quick announcements for you. Tonight, we are having our middle school level up event at my house. So if you're a middle schooler, 6 o'clock to about 7:30, 8 o'clock in my house, we'll have pizza. We've got the pool table all cleaned off at my house, ready to go for you guys. I don't know about if this happens at your house, but like any flat surface becomes a storage place. Okay, good. So I'm glad to know I'm not the only one who comes in and just lays it down on top of the pool table as I walk in the door. So we've got pool, we'll have pizza, and then this is a time for you guys as middle schoolers to bring your Bible questions. Like, you know, were dinosaurs real? Things like that, you know, and we'll dive into the scripture. I know we got into some great discussion with the high schoolers, some awesome things, but we just want to give you an opportunity to level up in your Christian understanding and in your Bible knowledge. So that's tonight. Wednesday night is our movie night. We're going to go see the Run the Race movie here in town. The cost is $8.50. That gets you a ticket, gets you a small popcorn, and a small drink. And so that's for the students. If any of you adults decide you want to go, we're meeting here at 6:30 and heading over there for the movie to start at 7. So it'll be a great time on Wednesday night. And then today is the deadline to sign up for Disciple Now Weekend. If you're wanting to go to Disciple Now, that's happening August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. It's happening here at the church. We'll spend one night here Friday night. The women's Sunday school class is helping us with dinner that night on Friday night with a taco bar. And then the men's Sunday school class is helping with breakfast. I'm like, yes, we get the best of both worlds, good cooks during both times. It'll be a great time of Bible study. It's $25. Make sure that your registration goes in the box there. And then something that's near and dear to me is we're going back to school. I don't know if you know that or not. But like 3 weeks, there's a rumor going around that school's getting ready to start back. We're partnering up with the radio station to help with school supplies. Now, our responsibility is glue sticks. And so I know there are some great back-to-school sales going on at Staples and Walmart, and things are coming up. So grab some glue sticks and just bring those by, because we're helping to supply backpacks to our local schools and kind of give school supplies to that. So make sure that you remember that. Denise, is there anything about the backpack program Feed the Need? Breakfast bars, Pop-Tarts, things like that?
Yeah,
okay.
Bars.
Good. Awesome. Yeah, they can get them with the fruit inside or without the fruit, so, yep.
Okay.
Awesome.
Great. A couple of things. Jack and Lori and the kids have gone through this real tragedy this past week. Jack and Lori have lost 3 grandparents. The kids, that's 3 great-grandparents. All in a week. doing that, you know, one a year is rough, but three in 1 week. Lori's grandparents were members at College Park, and College Park have asked us to partner with them to help provide the meal on Thursday. Some of you may get a phone call from Debbie, and that's what that's about. So want to thank you for that. I think Tommy and Sam and Debbie and maybe a few others are going to go over and help. And so we want to help any way and every way we can. So if you get a call, please help with that, if you will. And we're certainly going to be praying for the family as they go through this time. Too many, in the midst of the tragedy, there were also wonderful stories. Because, you see, God does that, right? God, in the midst of tragedy, will weave wonderful stories in there. And maybe sometime down the road, you'll get to hear some about them. I know I'll be sharing some as time goes by. But we love you guys and stand ready to help you in any way and every way that we can. Two quick things. Next week, again, we're going to be finishing up about the prodigal son. We're going to look at the older brother. The older brother was a religious guy, got real mad about all this stuff, and we're going to talk about that. Because there's some rationale for him to get mad, but then there was also maybe some not very rational ways on how he behaved. And so we're gonna look at that next week. So please bring someone with you who needs that. And let me give you a song if you're interested. It's an old Christian song by a guy named Brian Duncan. Well, no, I do know other bands in the 77s, Ryan. You're fired. All right. Or the Altar Boys, you're fired. And this is Brian Duncan. He was in a band called Sweet Comfort Band years ago. And he has a song that he wrote called The Prodigal's Regret. And it's a song based on the Luke 15 story parable. So if you YouTube have nothing going on this afternoon, you can YouTube Prodigal's Regret Brian Duncan and listen to it. And there's probably even a site where you can get the words. And I think it'll just reinforce reinforces what the text says. So it might be helpful. Okay? Stay with me, if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And please shake Ryan's hand and hug his neck. You won't be seeing him next week. So he's feeling God's call to another ministry. So just bless him on the way out the door. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for a wonderful place called Grace Fellowship. Thank you that we can assemble together and laugh and enjoy each other and read your word and study your word and worship you. Father, thank you. Lord, I pray you bless each and every person here. They are sheep of your fold. You love them, Lord, with an unbelievable, undying love. So I pray that this week will be the greatest week they've ever had, that you would bless them and use them. Father, may we not pass up any opportunity to show you your love and your kindness to someone or to even share the gospel with someone that we may come in contact with. Father, I pray next week we'll be back ready to learn, ready to grow, ready to change, and that we'll bring somebody with us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God's blessings on you. See you next time. Oh, yeah, Ryan's fired.
To the end. Oh, yes, Lord. To